on 97.5, 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora, Rugby League fans. Welcome to the RHP Show. Leon Price, Earl of Rugby League, is in the house tonight.
Good evening, all.
It's pretty chilled out, bro.
Yeah, I'm tired, Robbie.
Okay. Yeah, actually, we'll get into that a little later on, why you're tired. And we also have the Aaron. Aaron Bowers in the house, in the studio also.
Evening, Rob. You all right?
No, I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. Not as good as you, looking very summery in your get-up today. So we've got loads to cover tonight, including the Challenge Cup. So let's get straight into it.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Good evening, boys.
Good evening.
No Robbo tonight. He's been pulled in to do his coaching job once again. But me and Leon knew it was going to be like this, Aaron. We knew as soon as Robbo's testimonial was out of the way, he would just pick and choose. During his testimonial, especially when there was an event coming up, was Robbo this and Robbo that. And we actually renamed the show as well. Yeah. One show was Robbo Testimonial Show. That's the reason why Leon's still sticking around, because he's got testimony.
They lost the weekend, didn't they?
They did, yes. So, yeah. Maybe. So then, hey, it might be another reason.
Yep.
He's laying low, isn't he?
Yep.
But is it the weekend? It's like a midweek game, the Thursday night game now, isn't it?
Like a full week ago.
Yeah. We had him on the show. He was full of confidence, too. Getting Castleford at their weakest. Yes, come on. Good game, though. Yeah, and close game. Were you there, Aaron?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
So, what were your synopsis of the game?
Just a one-pager.
Just
a really short one. Feel they're getting better. I think they are improving all the time. There's an argument that Bruffy cost them the game, isn't there, Danny Bruff? Moment of madness at the end.
When yes.
He went in with a cannonball and copped himself a ban. And Cass, obviously, up the other end, won the game.
What's the duration of that ban?
He's got too much ban.
Too much. Actually, that's quite interesting, because players have been done for worse. Mm. For doing what can be argued as less cannonball tackles. It's a horrible, weird thing, because you're taught in the tackle, take the legs out. But it's specifically the defender does have a duty of care to the player that's pinned by the two guys.
Still on the prone, isn't it? That's when it verges into dangerous territory. Yeah,
Leon, have you had that done to you in a game?
Yeah, when Madge Maguire first came over for Wigan, when he first started coaching him, he would want to introduce that he'd obviously come from Melbourne.
And that wasn't outlawed at the time, wasn't
it? No, it wasn't outlawed at the time, and they were just renowned for it. They were coming in everybody's knees and snapping it. And
our mate Stuart Fielding, he loved it.
Yeah, loved it.
But he loved it.
I think there's an element to the game what's like tough, physical, and you can cop an eye shot, you can cop a bit of an elbow, maybe, you get a hit. You take punches, you take maybe a little bit of dirtiness. That's just rugby. Everybody knows that. I think, like, knees, when people know how much you can end a career in an instant.
Yes.
By doing somebody's knee. Once somebody's knee, if ACL goes, or an ankle, or a joint, or a ligament, or something that maybe you're not come back from your career, that's not real. That's one thing that rugby players won't...
tolerate.
We won't tolerate.
No.
Under no circumstances.
And I think that's a general consensus across the league. All players sort of have the same sort of premise on it. Look, let's not tolerate this as a skill set. Coaches, they're the same, because it has the potential to be career-ending. If not career-ending, it'll definitely impact on your ability to perform.
Yeah, it's not... also, as well, it's probably the lowest of low, because if it's ruined somebody's career, that's them done. You can take a whack, we can take a cup round face, you can take an elbow, you can take a scrap, you can have a fight, you can get a big shot, you can take a shoulder barge.
You can
get knocked out. Rugby players, the players, you ask them if they want a shoulder barge back, and every single one of them say, yeah, bring it back. Mm-hmm. Just take a duty of care. If you hit somebody to the head, make it really bad. We like it.
The punishment, really bad. So you there is a level of jeopardy that you're taking on board when you do that skill.
Yeah, we all come into the game knowing that we can get hurt. We know that, but I think that kind of injury that can be avoided is not what we're about.
And I think another part is as Aaron was describing it, it's so static. You know, it's not one of those movements where you're moving at speed, and actually there is a real lack of control in that instant, and that cannonball tackles, it's all controlled.
There's intent in there. I think that's what makes it dangerous. That if it gets proven to be a cannonball tackle, it almost certainly looks like there's intent. And the way the Cass players reacted last week as well, they went crazy. And Millington, I think it was, who got cannonballed, he got up and I think he was baying for a bit of blood. So you can tell straight away, you know, even when you're 50, 60 yards away like we are in the press box, you can tell by the reactions of the players generally that it's a bad one. I think it was.
And it is really, really frowned upon. Leon, your family, first world issues again, absolutely brilliant. I watched your wife Carly post on social media last night. Your son signed your family up to Prime, Amazon Prime.
I don't know if you know, my son he really takes after his mum. You know, looks wise, mannerisms, but also in his spending, he really enjoys internet shopping. You know, he likes buying things. He likes to have trainers, clothes. You know, it doesn't matter what they cost. He likes to just have them. So he's obviously got online.
They disappear.
Yeah.
They appear at the front door.
He constantly needs things. You know, he has to have them. He's got to go online. He's got to shop.
Like a magpie.
Yes, that's what they do. They go on there, they click a few buttons, and next thing it turns up at your door.
Met like magic.
Yeah.
For free.
So anyway, I think Williams ordered something off Amazon Prime, some socks or something. But you signed up, you got a free...
You know what happens? The account comes up and then it says, get these tomorrow. Have these by 12 o'clock tomorrow. And you've got to have it.
Yeah.
It's instant gratification, isn't it?
So I think £80 come out of Carla's account and she's gone mental. Where's this come from? I can't afford this £80, blah, 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 blah. And then she finds out we're a son.
With his pair of rugby
boots. A son who's got the same addiction as her, clicking with a button and ordering things online.
So is that nurture or is that nature? Is that DNA that's passed down from her DNA
to his?
Well, it's
not come from me.
Or has it been nurtured, you know, because he's been sort of exposed to it.
It's too much. I don't like this online shopping thing. It's just keep your details off the online stuff. If you need it, go and shop for it and buy it. That's what I say.
He's old school, isn't he?
What he is he's like me. He's a proper tight Yorkshireman, aren't you?
Well, what's the point? Like, this thing is that if you do it online, people have got your details. Then they can do things like this. If you don't check your account, all of a sudden £80 comes out. You don't see it. It's £80 down drain, isn't it?
Yeah, but those people that we're talking about are your family members.
Yeah, I know. Go and buy in shops. Stop spending money online. It's easy to click a button and it's just easy to press yes.
I've got to admit, I hate shopping though. I absolutely do. It's horrendous. I do not want to go walking around the shops looking for something. I would much prefer, I've got to admit, I would never buy clothes online either. I don't like that because I've got a weird shape. I've got a big backside. I've got short little stubby legs. I've got a long body. So what you see online isn't necessarily
how it fits.
And so I would never purchase anything online. But when I do go to buy stuff, I go for a purpose. I don't shop. Shopping is a pastime. It's a social experience for my wife.
They shop online. William sits at home and can take 2 hours scrolling through Nike football, Nike ID, making boots up, making shoes, looking at socks, looking at kits, looking at all night.
So it's actually like a game.
Like his mum. It's just like his mum.
So my son gets the tablet out and he gets up this ice cream game. And you can dress it with your chocolate and the different sweets and everything on it. Basically,
does he love
you
ice
do,
cream that much?
Well, no, he doesn't because he's allergic to dairy.
All right.
So he doesn't have any ice cream at all. But it's the fascination that he gets to control it, I guess. And to assert, but you don't get to click a button and go. So they'll send it to you by 12 o'clock the next day. Mm. I think that's where it's different with William.
Yeah.
You can make these shoes online. You can dress them up, nice design, the one you want, and go click.
I was sat at home once in front room and I got a notification come through from Barclays. Said, £50 come out of your account. I said, I'm not spent. No. I went round into the other room. He'd bought some boots. I said, what are you buying boots for? I can get your boots for free. Get off of online shopping. Stop it. Now, both of you, William and Carly. He calls me an heart attack.
Oh, I love that. And the thing is, with Amazon Prime, you've actually missed out the best part of it. Because they've got a couple of other services as well. They've got their version of Netflix and their version of iTunes, which are absolutely brilliant. And it's all free, well, it's perceived free music. Mm. Actually, I'm falling into the trap there, aren't I? I'm saying it's free music.
It's not. As well. Free not advertising. Free. Keep saying Amazon Prime.
£80 a month's not free, is it?
No.
£80 a month's not free.
Well, it's not £80 a month.
That's what, like, 80 quid come out of it.
No, that was for the year. That's an annual sign-up.
Oh, gosh.
It's even more expensive. I signed you up for the year. Well, if you're going to do it, you might as well utilise the rest of the...
They're not right in their head, man. They're not right in their head.
You might as well use the rest of the... the services that are up. Okay, we'll get on to the rugby league after the break. Stick with us. We'll be back and we'll be talking about the Challenge Cup and all the hottest topics in the sport of rugby league.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Right, welcome back to the show. In the studio tonight, we have the power that is Aaron Bauer, and we've also got the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, in here with us. Actually, before we get into the Challenge Cup conversation, I just want to say the Wolfpack kicked off their home game this weekend against Oxford, pumping them 62 points to 12, which is an unnormal, which is not strange for Toronto performing in that league. But I thought a fantastic start from them for building a marketplace. 6,281 people turned up to watch the game of rugby league in that famous city.
Good start.
That's
good
an start. Awesome start, isn't
they
it?
They look like they've done some really good stuff off the field. You'll know a lot about that. Obviously, marketing side of things and things like that. They look like they've really got themselves a brand there in just a few months. I think it bodes well.
It does bode well. Leon, ever considered travelling that far to play a game of rugby league there?
No, I probably wouldn't like to. I want to enjoy that. No, not at this stage of my career. Maybe when you're a bit younger and you like to travel, but I think being at home is nice, isn't it, when you're older?
That's right, because the body starts to slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You came into the studio tonight looking a bit wet through with sweat. You've been walking around town.
Been walking,
It's about 20 degrees outside, caking warm, and you're walking around fully clothed in a black tracksuit.
Yeah, my missus has got my car, so I had to walk through. I've walked from Nate, but just past BRI all the way to here.
That's a long walk.
Is that a way?
It's a long walk. I mean, the nature and shape of Bradford, it's downhill one way.
They're not the other.
But then it's back uphill. Yeah. Maybe that's why you were blind.
One of these people as well, if I get really tired where I need to sleep, I go really quiet and like quieting myself. So people think something's really wrong, but I'm not. I'm just tired.
No, actually, we were saying that we're in the canteen up here at Pulse Studios up at the Towers, and Leon, it looked like you were just resting your eyes.
Oh, it's just because usually I'm so loud and quite boisterous that when you really notice it, if I'm quiet, don't you?
Definitely.
I'm just tired, that's all.
You're shut down. Actually, people with attention deficit disorder also have same traits. So actually, a lot of pieces are falling into place here.
Surprise me.
Aaron, you'll know that. We were just talking about it off here. Jackie Blake came in, just said, nice picture, Leon, for your autobiography that's coming out. Obviously, Aaron was the ghostwriter on that autobiography. How was the journey for you both? It's coming out in June?
Yeah, went to print today, very day. So we should get some
exciting
copies.
Times, Leon.
Nerve, a bit nerve wracking, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because your parents and stuff are going to read it out then. It's like,
they are.
there's things in there that you want to put in there to excite other people.
Your children.
Yeah. But when your children and family read it, it might not sound the best, but so what?
Out next month.
Yeah. So it's out in June. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we'll cover a lot of it in the show over the course. We'll even run a competition.
Yeah.
Give some signed copies away and definitely. Maybe get some of the supporters into the show and just have some fun, I guess. You know,
we have a signing event probably up at Oddsall as well, something like that. So yeah.
Up at Oddsall, down at Waterstones, maybe down in the city centre. Yeah. You know, all the local Pulse Towers
all
as well.
Bradford,
we should have a signing session here and invite as many supporters into and just so we can do a live show here.
All over Bradford. King of Bradford, Leon Price. Oh. Everywhere.
To all of them.
The Earl of Rugby League.
The of
King
rugby
of Bradford. Yeah. You love that. Okay, so let's talk Challenge Cup. Hey, let's be serious about this now, as serious as we can. Challenge Cup, has it lost some of its gloss?
I don't think so.
Everyone's saying it doesn't have the same impact. Because I know when I first came to this country, 1994, the Challenge Cup was such this big, glorious thing. And there is an argument to say that maybe the Super League and the different the different events that that rugby league now offers. So the international game has really started to grow. You've got the NRL Nines, you've got the Magic Week and Summer Bash Week.
Grand
and
Final
so,
in itself
the
as
Grand
well.
Final is a much bigger event.
Yeah,
you've got the Million Pound Games, you've got the Super A playoffs. There's so many
World Club
major
series, everything, yeah.
Yes. There's so much more things now competing on that landscape, that rugby league landscape, that maybe some of the shine is to be is being taken away from what is the oldest rugby league competition in the world.
It can get lost a little bit in the shuffle, I think, in the grand scheme of things when you look at a season as a whole. But when cup semi-final weekend comes around, cup final weekend comes around, and you've got that vibe of it being on the BBC, everyone can see it, the lure of getting to Wembley, the fact that you can go down to Wembley for the bank holiday weekend. If you're a fan playing at Wembley, if you're a player, must be up there with the very, very best things you can do as a player. I still think it's got loads of magic.
Leon, loads of magic. Now here's a question for you. So many Challenge Cup finals, blessed by winning so many Challenge Cup finals also, blessed by winning so many World Clubs, blessed by winning so many Super League finals. What? Which one's the best? Which holds the fondest memories for you?
I can't. You can't separate them. I grew up on the Challenge Cup. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching Wigan's dominance in the mid-90s. Late 90s, I grew up watching Sheffield beat Wigan at Wembley. I grew up watching Bradford Bulls lose to St Helens at Wembley. So my fondest memories of growing up of rugby league games were the Challenge Cup. Yeah, you know, Yellery Hanley, your Martin Fires.
The iconic
players.
You remember the tries.
Yeah, remember
I can
all.
Remember the tries.
Rugby league's greatest tries, 101 greatest tries, you watch on there and you see all the tries from back in the day when the greats came over, and you know, Gary Kemble,
James Lulu-White
playing at Hull and sidestepping around fullback, like
Brett Kenny.
And you remember that try that Ellery Allen scored when we were running sideways but forward at the same time against Halifax and scored on a post.
Just holding players at bay.
I sat and watched them games at my nan and granddad's for a good 10 years, 15 years growing up, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play at Wembley in a Challenge Cup. So for me as a player, as an older player, and then winning it last year at Hull, even though I didn't play in the final day, it's lost nothing of its special magic, presence, of its aura, of its special presence, of a trophy that people want to win. I spoke to Danny Outland last year at the start of the season. He said, I'll take Challenge Cup before anything, before Super League. We win that Challenge Cup at Wembley, it will be the best ever. So it's better than winning Super League and like saying at League Champions. Said, yeah, miles better, man. Winning at Wembley. Winning the Challenge Cup? Are you mental? So that's Man of Steel.
Well, that's another element to it, though, isn't it? It's Wembley.
Yeah. The history.
And
Wembley
is its own powerful brand. And we know Old Trafford is also. Old Trafford is a powerful brand, but Wembley is the
greatest.
Mecca.
It's the greatest, yeah.
And that's.
I remember we've got history there as well. All the most of the Challenge Cup finals have been played there since I can remember, since you've seen on TV in history. So it's got history. It's not just a football stadium, is it, Wembley? It's part of our tradition to have the Challenge Cup final there as well.
I remember being woken up as a kid, being woken up, you know, every May. Television New Zealand and the BBC had an agreement, so they would stream that game. We only had two channels in New Zealand, BBC, TV1 and TV2. And my parents would wake me and Henry up, and we'd get up and we'd watch the grand final.
What time would it be?
It's just 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a 12-hour difference.
To watch the Challenge Cup final.
To watch the Challenge Cup final. We were that mad rugby league fans.
The Aussie players still say it now when they come over. The one thing that they really want to, that they came over for the rugby was the Challenge Cup.
Challenge Cup.
To be part of that knockout, do or die.
But there's nothing that you can do by watching it on TV that can prepare you for actually stepping out into their cauldron. Yeah. Nothing. I still remember it knocked me sideways, absolutely knocked me sideways when I stepped through the threshold of that tunnel, and it was a tunnel back in that original 1996, the real old Wembley, and then just to have 76,000 people all scream at you all at the same time, like, wow, rock star moment.
It's probably up there. It's up there with the best moments of my career, the most memorable moments of my career. But I think for me, the sad thing is, I don't think it's losing its aura and its how special it is. I think the semi-finals and the quarter-finals, the crowd capacity, the atmosphere, them games, that's really disappointing. The coverage of the games, which games are selected at what time and which time of day for me as a player, that has a lot of bearing on how to build an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. For me, a Challenge Cup game should be Saturday afternoon kickoff. A semi-final should be a Saturday afternoon kickoff at 3 o'clock-ish on BBC, prime time. Get the big audience, get the big crowds and build it up. But I think, you know, I remember when to watch you guys, if you played against Leeds at McAlpine, I think there were about 18,000, 20,000 there. We've not had a semi-final with that many people for ages. It's the crowds have dropped, the atmosphere's dropped, the time and the televisions have have changed. The
well, it's in summer now, whereas back then it was in spring.
Just by May, didn't you? Yeah, about this time,
about winter just time. I think that has an impact on it, because if the final's being played on a bank holiday, August, you know, bank holiday, it's in the middle of summer. Everybody's outside doing other stuff. I think the viewing, it's had an impact on viewing.
Massive impact on it.
There's an argument that when you had it in May and the season started in February, you had a round, a break, a round, and you were going every fortnight, so the interest stays.
It builds momentum.
Now it's a month and then a game and a month.
It loses momentum, doesn't it? Also, as well, we played against Wigan. We played at Doncaster.
Yeah.
And it was, I think the capacity of the stadium might have been like 12,000-14,000. Well, if you're gonna play in a semi-final at a neutral venue, why put it so far away from Wigan's fans on a Friday night when it takes them 2.5 hours to travel from Wigan? And it's a semi-final. It was a semi-final, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
There were like 300 like Wigan fans there.
Yeah, put it
on a Saturday afternoon, put it in a local venue that's halfway between Hull, halfway between Wigan, McAlpine, boom, there you go. Leeds, Edinburgh, boom, there you go. On a Saturday afternoon, so all fans can get there. Make it a showpiece event. It's not hard.
Boom. One semi-final on a Saturday, one on a Sunday. He's right, it's not hard. Boom. I mean, again, the reigning holders are on TV this weekend.
Well, we're going to finish on that for this segment of the show. When you heard it from Leon, boom, there you go. Boom, there you go.
It's
love
not
it.
Hard, is it?
Love it. Okay, when we come back, we'll cover some of the sport's hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show. We're covering all the sports, hottest topics and more. Let's talk about the last weekend's internationals. England versus Samoa. Let's go straight in at the top. How did you see that England team? I was impressed, I've got to say that. Aaron, over to you, mate.
Is it Samoa or Samoa?
Samoa.
Samoa.
Right, Samoa. Okay.
I thought Samoa were pretty poor, if I'm being honest. But England,
but they've got decent players.
It was worthwhile England going. I mean, the other option was probably playing France, wasn't it, mid-season, which admittedly isn't going to be a great test when you try to prepare for a World Cup. I thought they would have got everything they wanted out of it. The logistics of flying 12,000 miles in a week will have been a challenge, and the preparation for a test match of that magnitude will have been a challenge, but they played well.
Who impressed?
Bradford's own Elliot Whitehead impressed. Thought he was really good.
Strong.
Yeah, 80 minutes
strong
as well. He's beefed up, hasn't he? Big player now. You think back to when he was at Bradford, even at Catalans, he was quite...
He's always been a blessed athlete. Leon, your main man.
I'm out.
Ellie.
Smell it.
Smelly, that's what you call him, yeah. Do you think the move to Canberra just allowed him to grow? I mean, we talk about Hodgson and his growth at Canberra as well under Ricky Stewart, but athletically... Elliot just seems to be going from strength to strength.
Yeah, I think a lot of time in rugby and in your rugby career, and probably in life as well, it's getting a bit deeper, but it's about timing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I just think the timing that he went there, just the probably the peak years of his career, Ricky Stewart going there, who loves him like his own son.
Do they have a relationship like that?
Yeah, because he loves Elliot, and he loves the English boys. He wants to sign bloody...
John Turner.
Not Turner. Turner's not played yet, has he?
No, he's not played. But...
Yeah, but I mean, the number nine.
Josh, yeah.
He wants to sign him up for 10 years, isn't he? Sign him up for 10
Seriously?
Years.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah. But I just think it's timing. I think Elliot's gone there at the perfect time of his career after having two great years at Catalan, in the peak years of his career, in really good condition, getting prime condition, training in the Australian heat off season. Really.
You took him under your wing at Catalan?
I'm just so glad he took that chance, you know, because he got offered a contract to Catalan, which was probably a bit decent money.
Yeah.
But it's.
Do you think it would have been more than what he got offered at Canberra?
No, I don't think so.
But it's a big chance for him because it's a big shift to go down under.
Yeah, because when you're a good player and you're a good form like he is, they offer you the contract early, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously want you to sign it as quickly as possible so you don't come out of contract. But obviously he waited a little bit, had a little bit of patience, found out they were interested, and it would have been easy for him to stay in France because everything was easy from there.
That's right.
But he's gone to the other side of the world, tested himself against the best players in the world, and you know, he's respected and regarded very highly down there.
Yeah, and that Samoan pack is absolutely massive. Massive. So, I mean, and he looked really strong when carrying the ball.
Yeah, talented though as well, isn't he? I mean, he's much more than like your average second row. He played junior rugby at hooker, and he's a good ball player, isn't he? He's got. He seems like he's got everything. There's no surprise to me that they love him down there. They love a good rugby league player.
So they had a triple header that day at Campbelltown.
Yeah.
Campbelltown. They had Papua New Guinea versus the Cook Islands. I think there was a win for PNG for 30 points to 20, somewhere around that. The game of the afternoon for me, though, was the Tonga versus Fiji match. Absolutely out of this world. Just try for try, each team taking the lead at different times in the game throughout the full 80 minutes. But the game wasn't settled until the last 2 minutes of the game, where Tonga scored a try under the post. The score was before then 20 points to 24. They scored under the post to take the win 26 points to 24. The crowd was absolutely rocking.
It looked
rocking.
Good. It did look good.
Absolutely rocking. I got to admit, what were your thoughts on the streaming? Because I made the mistake. I took my family out to the coast. I get up Saturday morning all very excited about watching the test match then. And so I go online, put my £3.49 in, follow all the, you know, I'm already, actually I did it the night before.
Yeah.
So this is, no, I did it on the Friday night, the night before, because I think there was a time limit. You had to do it before 12 o'clock.
It was Fiverr if you did it on the day, yeah? They put it up to Fiverr. Yeah.
So I got it the night before because, you know, my wife being a Yorkshire lass is rubbing off on me, keeping, you know, look after the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. So I'm all excited about watching it the next morning. And my wife gets up and says, no, we're off out. We went to the coast and went to the beach. So I thought, just you know, that, well, if you pay for it, you're good to go. So you, you know, just watch it back or whatever. Yeah. No, you had to watch it live. So I had to pay another £1.50. So I paid £5 in the end anyway.
Saw you come into the office.
They did. They did. But it was worth a watch. Well worth a watch. So, but great setup for England. Give them good confidence moving forward for the internationals with the World Cup at the end of the year. Wayne Bennett was pleased. Mm-hmm. And you were saying also you saw a freedom that you never saw in the Four Nations last year.
Yeah, they looked like they were a bit too... you can never be too structured, I guess, but they looked like they were a bit conservative in the Four Nations for me last year. They played a bit safe. They played a bit like Bennett's teams can play, with mm-hmm. a priority on defence and a priority on completion, whereas probably for us to trouble the Aussies and the Kiwis, we're going to have to chance it a little bit. We're going to have to chance his arm. I thought the halves played well. I thought Ratchford looked good at fullback. Bennett will have learned probably more last weekend than he will have done in the Four Nations, I think.
I mean, just looking forward to this weekend's cup games. Rashford at fullback, Kevin Brown in the halves. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, Warrington is starting to click again. We've spoken about them. Tony Smith said all along, be patient, be calm, we'll get it together. And I think Tony Smith's come out in the press saying that, you know, it was good for Kevin Brown there to get his confidence back, get out there and get a good performance.
He's going to have to get in front of Patton, though, isn't he? I think I like Patton. Declan Patton is a good player
for
Warrington. But, yeah, Warrington have...
How do you do that, though? How can you not? How can you deny someone who's gone and killed it at international level and say, well, you now have to get in front of a youngster?
Patton played well last week. Warrington scored 44 points. I think that'd be unfair to leave him out.
But it's a cup game. It's do or die. It's a massive risk. Albeit, yeah, maybe witness aren't playing well, but you know as well as I do that you can build your season on a cup run.
You always bring your experience back.
You were more than likely play.
That's the risk, isn't it?
You always bring your experience
back. Gambling.
It's a big game.
He's gambling if he doesn't use Kevin in that respect.
At the very, very worst, Kevin Brown will probably be on the bench, I would have thought.
He'll start.
I think it's a massive gamble.
Yeah,
where are the experts, Robert?
Well, to say that, the power's got his finger on the pulse, Leon. That's all I can say.
Pulse radio,
Hey, it works on so many different levels. Painful weekend for me. Painful weekend for me. New Zealand losing to Australia. Even more painful with the loss of Jesse Bromwich and Kevin Proctor after getting up to some mischief. But I got to say this about Australia. They're so clinical. That's frightening. That's what makes it a little bit frightening. For me, I think the Australians in the past have run the risk of maybe being a little too indulgent in themselves and a little too overconfident. But every time you hear Mal speaking, I hear it because I'm a big All Blacks fan as well, and I love the culture that the All Blacks. There's so many similarities in the cultural approach to it. They've got the players, they've got the talent. Where they've fallen down before in the past is probably not creating that synergy on the field. And it was just a clinical performance by Australia.
When Meninga took that job, I was a bit fearful. I thought, oh, that's a great appointment. That's a really good appointment. What did win like seven series in a row with Queensland or something like that?
And he knows the value of creating a winning culture, because of those seven series, you've probably seen a young Queensland team that's gone into those games actually as the underdogs.
Yeah.
But he's been able to create synergy with their unit.
It's incredible. I think their next game's against England as well. That's their next game now, the first game of the World Cup. It would have been nice for the Kiwis to do everyone a favour and bring them down a peg or two, but yeah, they look good.
They look
really good. Look like a team to beat again.
But on the internet,
they're a machine out there. They're a machine.
Yeah, but I mean, they're living up to that expectation of what they have, and I think that's where it makes it dangerous for us in the rest of the world, albeit New Zealand. New Zealand just seems to be out of sync, and obviously, what's going on in and around the park sort of shows the culture of the squad isn't really coming together. From New Zealand's point of view, we've got a long way to go. The spine of the team is there, but they're not firing for the Warriors either.
I think you'll know more than me, Roy, but is it for the first time really in a long time, you've got young Kiwi lads growing up in Australia that most of the lads are playing for Australian clubs, or a lot of the lads are playing for Australian clubs. A lot of them now are like superstars, aren't they? And I know that the Kiwi teams of old were very, very humble and very, very united as brothers, very, very close. You could always say there was always a closeness about the teams. Whenever you see the Kiwis, you always see them out in packs. They always stick very close. They always seem to have a good camp. I don't know if that's the same now.
You used to come and hang out with us.
Yeah, I know, that's why I knew. But what did this?
Leon around the carver bowl, passing the carver bowl. And I remember the first time you got to drink out of the carver bowl. You were like, yuck.
It's just like mud, isn't it? Like mud and water.
Muddy water.
But would this still be like that now? You know, with these young kids that are coming through now on £1 million a year contracts, are they still as humble
as... They do create that. They do work to create that. I think there's been a little bit of a disconnect when Stephen Kearney stepped down as head coach and David Kidwell's come in, and I've not been in that camp intimately to understand what's changed, the dynamic, but something's changed because they've seemed to not pull together on the field.
There's not closeness. There's not the closeness now that they usually have. Not all you can see it.
So I mean, Big Mal come in and he's sort of impressed upon the Australian internationals team and those players that we need to come together as a group. Have no bad eggs. Good people make good international rugby league players. And I think that sort of principle is what they're enforcing. And if everyone sings from the same hymn sheet, that's when synergy is created. So I think for a winning squad to come together, that's what needs to happen. That's what England needs to work on. It's what New Zealand needs to work on.
It's what England have been working on for the last 7 or 8 years. I say it's what England's been working on, that togetherness, for a long time. That's what they've lacked.
Well, we'll see. Hey, we'll see if they can pull it even tighter, and maybe this performance against Samoa will be the launch pad for just that. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be looking forward to the games of the Challenge Cup, the sixth round of the Challenge Cup. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the RHP Show. Before we get into the upcoming Challenge Cup matches this week, you know, one thing I wanted, and we're talking about International Rugby League, I just wanted to bring up that French player. If you have social media, you may have seen it. It was doing the circles around social media over the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. Leon, can you pronounce that name? Hidi Widji.
Yeah, Widji.
Hidi Widji.
Hidi Widji.
Don't laugh at me. You're the guy who spent two, three years in France.
Hidi Widji. Hidi Widji.
Banned for life for king hitting the brother of Catalan's Remy Casti Benjamin, who is a referee. Banned for life.
Didn't miss
that. Just deserve on it as well, yeah, I think.
Did not miss. King hit him.
You got to set a precedent with things like that, and this won't be tolerated in rugby league, will it?
I just, good job, get out.
Yeah,
you don't deserve to be on the third inner side of man code. So go away. So terrible shot though. If you've seen it, have a look on social media. If you've not seen it, and geez, anyway, just before we get the final one of the hot topics, Cass looking to solidify their deal with Hardacre. he's played well enough. Obviously, he came back from Penrith last year on a one-year deal. He must be on a lot of clubs'
radars.
Yeah, what
still
do you reckon?
A contract at Leeds as well, so Leeds might be looking into him.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's only on the loan from Cass, from Leeds to Cass. I think he's got another year.
Okay, well, you know, he left in a lot of controversy. I know Leon and I both know what Brian McDermott's like, and not only that, also Gary Hetherington. They don't really tolerate people that upset the apple cart. But yeah, that's the question I want to ask. No matter how good you are, do you think that there's a route back for him?
No, probably not, because like you say, Leeds are a club that don't really tolerate any nonsense, aren't they? That's not to say Hardacre's been up to nonsense, but if there's a falling out and sort of, I mean,
like to keep things in house, sort of.
A lot of the personalities are still involved, aren't they?
But Leeds have accepted as well by loaning him out to Cass. They've accepted that he's not part of their future anymore, and they've got Ashton Golding at fullback now. I think they've all moved on. I would be very surprised if he didn't stay at Castleford, to be honest. Cass must surely want him.
Definitely.
They must want him long term.
I mean, he glues together so well. I mean, a top metre maker.
He's in Man of Steel contention for me.
He definitely is. Liam, what have you been impressions of Hardacre so far this year?
I've not watched much Cass this year, to be honest with you. But
oh, you're missing out.
Yeah,
they're playing such wonderful rugby league. You know when Hull FC were at their pomp last year, when you guys really were getting it together, right? Mm. Just playing off the cuff. And it wasn't off the cuff.
I just don't like to get too excited. I wanted to see the proof will be in the pudding when the big games come around.
Yep.
And once them big games come around, then I'll be, because then we'll see what happens. But we've seen these teams blow hot steam at early part of the season lots of times before. Uh-huh. And the same four teams have won the grand final for the last 20 years.
That's right.
So once the proof's in the pudding, then I'll stand and applaud.
Won't you agree with me then? It's also about you have to have a certain type of mentality going into the playoffs. When it comes to Super League success,
the game's changed.
Your mindset's got to change.
Yeah, so I appreciate Cass. To get back to your point that you were talking about, I think he's a fantastic player, especially when we've got Man of Steel, fantastic. I think he's too good of a player to let go out of your club. So if they're a way back, I'd try and make that way back, because he's a Man of Steel player, one of your best players in competition. Mm-hmm. I'd try and get the bridge sorted out somewhere. But I agree with Aaron. I don't think there's a way back for him at Leeds.
But he'll be high on the agenda for a number of other clubs.
I think Castle have him tied down. He's a Castle lad as well, isn't he?
And he'll also be pushing with his performances, he's got to be pushing his price tag through the roof.
Yeah, massively. And I think Castleford will pay the wages that he'll demand as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's the problem with success, though, doesn't it? I mean, that is the problem with success. As soon as you get a successful team, everyone that's coming out of contract, their price tag start to inflate. And if you think, if you look at Cass from a income generation point of view, they have limitations on how many people they can fit into that stadium. They're pretty much selling it out. At least
they're looking to move the stadium, aren't they?
They are, eventually, but still, they've got to keep the nucleus of that team together.
So times have changed, though, that when their best players, Luke Gale, who else went away, and Mannequin, and somebody else, they went away, and in their place they brought in Rangy Chase, Greg Eden, or somebody else, and somebody else, like... That's their squad.
Luxury.
That's a squad to having it, to bring in Rangy Chase and start him at six.
Though in saying that, I think you were, I think you put the post out when Millington went to standoff. The game changed for Cass.
We said that. We said that in here, though, didn't we? The week that Millington will probably play six.
Yeah, he's a six played, in a props body.
Yeah,
isn't
he plays decent. I don't know. But that's a sign of how times have changed.
Wrong. It's wrong on every level. It's wrong. Donkeys, get in the forward pack and
they
do
all
your
think
job.
They can play halfback these days.
You know what I mean?
Won't like that back in your day.
No. Well, Leon was as big as a front row, wasn't he? Okay, Challenge Cup games. It's quite interesting. Off air, we were talking about the scheduled TV games, and obviously the first one for the Challenge Cup round and this round coming up is Featherstone versus Halifax. And Aaron, you had your own thoughts on whether or not these two championship clubs, albeit they're good championship clubs, should be being showcased when the likes of Hull FC and Catalans, who are both Super League clubs, Hull FC are the last year's winners, being showcased on...
It's good that
the four games.
There's some championship exposure. It's a good league. You know, there's some great teams in there. And it's good to see them getting the nod.
That's
for
a very
a game.
Diplomatic answer.
But that said, I think it's wrong that the reigning holders are on in their first game since winning the Cup at Wembley. Mm-hmm. Especially when you think about the way they won it with Danny Houghton's tackle late on. They won it with the dramatic comeback. There must have been some neutral, some non-rugby league fans, even just one or two that day, who must have just been hooked saying, wow, this was great. Hull... Wow, what a story, what a great thing. They've never won at Wembley before.
Who are this Hull FC?
And then
I'm going to start following them.
The next time the game's coming up on BBC, they look Where's Hull? Nah, they're not playing. I think that's a missed trick from the organisers.
But looking at it, the other two games that are covered by the BBC, and this is me waving that sort of flag, are both Super League games.
Yeah, they make sense. Yeah, in fairness, there was five good TV worthy ties, and they could only pick four. Mm-hmm. Hull, Catalan misses out.
Leon, your thoughts on that?
I agree with Aaron. Yeah, I know how historic it was for the club winning the first time down at Hull, down at Wembley. Sorry, for Hull FC. And I think for that they deserve to be on television for the first defence of the trophy.
And you think that the game potentially might be missing a trick there?
Absolutely, yeah.
Missing some sort of value. It's an easy team to market on TV, especially when you have that narrative of what you were talking about. Yeah. In 2016.
It writes itself. It's obvious, but never mind.
So how do you see the game, Featherstone versus Halifax, playing out?
Tough. I mean, Featherstone will obviously, in all likelihood, be without almost all the players they've been getting from Leeds all season, which will tip things in Halifax's favour. They've been going under the radar, Halifax, from what I hear. I've not seen them this season, but sounds like they've been playing some good stuff. It'll be a good physical West Yorkshire derby. I would probably nudge towards Featherstone, but only just.
Yeah, Feather at home. And yeah, so they get that home advantage. Yeah. Fast forward one day to Friday night, there's a couple of really good games on there. Well, the first game is Dewsbury versus Wakefield. Dewsbury hosting Wakey, so it can be a little bit tricky for Wakey, but you'd expect Wakey to run away with that one. But the two games that we've just mentioned, the Hull FC at home to Catalans. Maybe because Catalans don't travel with a big travelling supporters wipe, the TV cameras decided to stay away from it. But the big, big game, I think on the Friday night, has got to be Salford Red Devils versus Hull KR.
Yeah, £1 million game rematch.
And we know the drama in and around that game. Hull KR flying high at this point in time. I would arguably a stronger squad than in 2016 got this year. So how do you see that game going? And Salford, absolutely killing it at this point in time. And I've got to admit, I've been down with Salford over the last couple of days, and they're taking the game extremely seriously. They know that the Hull KR offers them a real challenge.
All of a sudden now, you're at the stage of the competition where you're 3 wins from Wembley. You know, it's crazy. You know, Salford get over the line against Hull KR quarterfinals, then Wembley really starts to come into view for everyone this weekend.
So a quick one, Cass versus St Helens. Cass at home.
It's going to be tough for Saints. I can only see a Cass win.
Yeah, same.
And the other big one, I reckon, is the Warrington Wolves versus Widnes Vikings.
Yeah, probably go Warrington, Widnes in a bit of a hole at the minute.
Yep, agree.
What can Widnes get, if anything, out of this?
No.
It's all going to be Warrington. And obviously, they've got two players coming back, key players coming back from the internationals. All right, that's us for this evening. Thank you to Leon. Thank you to Aaron for being with us tonight. Thank you for listening at home. You can catch up if you only caught the back end of the show. We'll put it up on the website. So thanks for being with us.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1, Wednesday evening from 6.